Can I use our podcast for a soapbox for a minute?
You don't normally? Wow.
Unrelated to the video games that are normally centralized on our podcast, just a regular old soapbox.
Just a regular soapbox? Yeah, sure, go for it.
Yeah. I don't find the Nuns podcast to be cute. And I think everyone needs to.
This is fun because this
stop.
Is actually referencing this is referencing another episode where I liked the Nuns.
I can't now. It's become such a problem. Like, I can't stand it. I'm seeing them everywhere, and every comment section of those videos is all just people being like. Maybe they figured it out. Maybe they figured out the secret to life. And I was like, working for the world's most powerful cult? We're like living your, dedicating your life in service to the most nefarious organization ever to exist on planet Earth? You think so? Oh my
yeah.
God.
Yeah. It's easy. It's easier.
They're not doing that. I'm insane about it. Although, here's one thing, and I do think that we have the right to do this as queer people. But I was talking about this with Rowan, and so I feel like very much we have the right to take ancestor, and I think that we should use that on the podcast.
And sister,
I love that you did that. And sister, and sister, you're so good.
that's good. It. And then when people are like, "Oh, that's so funny. Where did you get that from?" We can say, "Oh, from the Nuns podcast."
No,
and
we'll say
it's kind of like we're spreading
up,
the word,
and they are. And we will say, "Nope, they stole it from us." Actually,
Okay.
No, there's no. Yeah.
Well, that's lying, and that's a sin, so I won't be partaking in that.
Yeah,
but
well,
I will say, ancestor, but in a religious way.
Ancestor.
Ancestor.
Ancestor, you're so good at that. My name is Dylan, and I've played 3 Mass Effect games.
Hello, my name is Robin. I've played 3 Mass Effect games, but I've done it 100 million times.
That's true. We've been playing Mass Effect Andromeda for a little while now, and we are getting to the end, and I have lost my mind. I have played so much Mass Effect over the last week, but specifically over the last like 3 days, I have literally not.
I was playing
done anything but play Mass Effect
today. I was playing so much of it that I was getting a little annoyed. I wanted to do other things, but I was like, "Man, there's just so much to do in this game," and I'm like, "I'm not having fun doing it."
Yeah,
I've now found a rhythm in the game where it's like, I do. I'm gonna say this. Because I listen to the show, and it also keeps me in check of what I have said and what I believe. I have moaned a lot about how the characters in this game have no source, and I don't like them at all.
Yeah,
I'm coming around in a big way where it's like, I just kind of like the crew in this game.
Crew's great,
cute. I think their hooks are really bad. Like the original hook, because it is just the Mass Effect 1 characters again. But I now like the little team. I think a lot of them are fun. And I like just kind of driving around doing Dragon Age Inquisition again.
Yeah. It's just, you know, what's neat. Really funny? I remember that you actually said that at the beginning of Dragon Age 2, that the hooks, the intros for, I don't think for everyone, but for a lot of the characters did not grab you. And then you fell in love with them. But like, they're like intro scenes.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I will also say, last week, I didn't clock this at the time, but you did compare this game to Dragon Age 2. And I need that to stop, actually.
No.
But
the thing is,
this isn't anything like Dragon Age 2.
Because,
and it's
okay,
insane that you're comparing.
That's not what
them.
I said. What I said was that this game is if they took the like interpersonal like writing of Dragon Age 2 and then spread it out over a open
it's
world
also
game that
still
has
not
so...
that though. It's not the interpersonal. The interpersonal writer of Dragon Age 2 is like the best you could possibly
do, and this is okay. It's not. I'm not going to die on a hill about it, but it is. But basically, my point was that it has tight character writing, but it is so sparse and so not the main focus of the game that it loses all of the meaning in those things because you're spending so much time. Anyway, I don't even want to criticize it too much because I had fun this week.
I also did. I am, however, going to... I'm not going to critique it. I am going to say that this is a Mass Effect problem because Mass Effect is military.
Yeah.
And you have to be a guy doing the world's most important stuff and every single member of your team. Not every single member of your team is military, but they all join the military in one way or another. Either by joining you or doing whatever. So it's very hoorah. And this game doesn't benefit from that even a little bit.
Yeah.
This game should be you're a guy.
You're a guy.
I think that you I don't mind you being the Pathfinder and everything, but I think instead of the Pathfinder being your dad, even though I do like that, just because I'm trying to move away from the military thing.
Yeah.
I think there should have been a Pathfinder and then a kind of order of command where it goes down the list of who's the Pathfinder. And then you should be a civilian, normal guy, and then every single person above you should have died in, like, the initial attack. And it just... And it's just like, you are the Pathfinder just purely by the case of... that you're the highest ranking middle manager on the ship.
Yeah.
It's just like, there's just two. They are trying to sell me on the fact that this group is scrappy whilst they're flying around in a multi-trillion dollar high-tech ship. And it's like, you're not though. You're not scrappy. You're military.
The most powerful people in literally two galaxies. It's very funny.
But I do like these characters. I do think it's fun.
Okay. To draw on that point a little bit. This, in the last 2 weeks, something that I've realized is that I've gotten really good at this game in a way that I don't think I ever felt like I was good at the game parts of any of the previous three. Like, I feel like I made it. I did it. but I was never like I did all three of the original trilogy, like barely using any of my like special skills, like just kind of shooting in melee and like everything like that. Like I kind of never got good at the game. I never got good at driving in the original trilogy. I never got good, like anything. I'm the coolest guy in in the world. I do shit that's impossible. And there's something that has affected me by being good at this game in particular. So like I have kitted out all my shit. I have ranked up. I'm an unbelievable level whatever the fuck. My guns are so powerful. I have the most powerful guns in the game. I have maxed out level in every single kind of gun, and I have a little I have a little fucking remnant tech bot.
I also have a remnant tech bot that flies next to me. How fun.
And I mean, literally, flames shoot out of my fucking eyeballs. I'm like, it's unreal what I'm able to do. My Nomad is also extremely modded and can now climb vertically up hills at 100 miles an hour.
That's something that I haven't done a single one of is mod any of the Nomad. I do just mad tricks to get anywhere. I like Skyrim horse jump up a mountain to get there, but I haven't touched it in mod wise, and I should actually. I didn't realize that you could mod driving stuff.
Yeah, I've modded it to an insane degree. I've done all of that. And then I was fighting, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. That
yeah,
that
I tell you what. If we wanted to draw, a connective between Dragon Age 2 and this game, they call the one space thing the Scourge. Whereas you will drop on a planet and be like, I'm going to be the only person on this planet by the time I'm fucking done.
By the time I'm out of here,
you rock up to a settlement of 50 people and you walk out with a few bullets less.
And I know that it is materially the same for my Dragon Age character to kill a bunch of people with their magic and swords and their arrows and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There is something that has chemically changed me to be like the coolest and most like good at combat guy in the world with guns. It's so much more terrifying.
So we opened this episode with you saying, we gotta stop
glorifying
enjoying
the Catholic Church.
And then you're like, hey, but the American military though.
But the thing is that I'm saying it is actually terrifying to me. I am like, Rowan made me write this down because she wanted to make sure that I said this. I was playing on the couch while she was around yesterday. And I said, as I was shooting, God, just so many people. And these weren't even Get. It was probably...
They're exiles. They're just human
exiles or whatever. Here it is. Yeah. So I was just like killing, you know, so many people. And it was like horrifying. It was like, I was like picturing it from my enemy's point of view that like I have maxed out sniper rifles.
Yeah.
So I am just like, I am killing people from so far away.
I've been a sniper since day one. I also have been doing this. Killing people before their character model registers they're in a fight is insane.
Insane.
It feels like God.
And then what I will do is because like I have also maxed out shotguns and pistols and stuff, but sometimes I don't feel like switching. So I will literally with my sniper rifle just sort of walk slowly towards the fight.
Yeah.
And because the scope is so good, like they will like be jumping down to come and fight me and they will hit the ground dead. And if anyone manages to get anywhere near me, literally flames shoot out of my eyeballs and I just incinerate them. And I was on the couch with Rowan and I said, oh, the fear I have for you, my enemies. because this character is terrifying.
Yeah.
And the only reason that no one sees this nomad show up and goes running and screaming in the other direction is because no one has ever lived to report back.
No one
back.
Lived to do it. Yeah.
No
exactly,
one
yeah.
has ever. It's insane.
It's crazy.
So it's
I,
so
I,
much
I do
more.
Think that Ryder is stronger than Shepard in like a boots on the ground, like who would win in a fight? And it's like, I feel like Ryder is a crazy person.
It's just it's so much more viscerally violent to be playing because I've never really played games with guns before Mass Effect.
Yeah.
And then now is kind of the first time I've ever gotten good at a game with guns.
Uh-huh.
And so it really is like more viscerally violent than like games where you're still killing people, but there it's like with a fucking little twirly magic wand. Like it's just so much more. It's so much more terrifying to think about and to experience. So I have really been like sitting with that. It's been interesting.
That is fun. I feel the opposite.
Yeah?
I feel like killing someone with a sword is infinitely more visceral than killing someone by shooting them with gun.
I think in the real world that would probably be true because being stabbed sounds 1,000 times more horrific than dying instantly from a gunshot. I don't know. I'll have to take a fucking psych course about it, because there's just something. I will have to think about it.
We gotta play another game with a gun, it seems. Because I don't think we have, after this, we have another series that we're doing after this that we already know. But there, straight up, I don't think there is a choice-based sci-fi game beyond the Mass Effect.
I think it's just this one.
We gotta find one.
Okay. So before we talk about the quests that we did.
Honestly, and the problem is, there's so many that I just stopped writing them down. Yeah. I did so much shit.
Oh, but I mean like the priority missions. Before we go to the priority missions, I did so much. I did a lot. This is another thing I want to talk about, because I feel like I have played enough of this game now, and this really clicked for me in the last couple of days, is that sort of like Inquisition, I now know if I were to start this game over and play it again, like I know how I would make this game a more enjoyable time from jump one. Like, I know now that, like, the answer is really, like, to focus on terraforming the planets and doing the, like, and, like, getting the arcs and, like, tracking that stuff down and doing the, like, there's so much in the world, but, like, focusing on that stuff would fix the pacing issue that I had by just kind of, like, exploring. So I did all of the priority missions that I had not done already, which the only one I had finished was Jaws last time we spoke.
Yep.
I did all the other priority, loyalty missions, I mean.
Uh-huh.
I also finished terraforming all of our other planets. So Hafarl and Elidyn and
Vold. Because you didn't do that last time, yeah.
Okay. So a couple of things. I don't know because my notes are bad, but I kind of want to like say some things that I found here. One, I will say that in the course of Drax's personal quest, Clan Urtnot was mentioned very briefly.
Wow.
Yeah. That's like fun. In just like a like Drax like listing off like clans that he had respect for and stuff like that had presence there, got a mention, and I was like, okay, yay, love that,
yay, my son.
also, big thing, in order to terraform planet where Reyes is, what planet is that? Do you remember?
I understand. Yes, I know who you're talking about. I will find it as you continue your sentence.
Okay. Anyway, so in order to terraform this planet, you have to. This is the one where
Kadara.
Yes, Kadara. And so this is the one where there is that outlaw like leader, and she's super cool, and she's very cool, but she sucks. She's like got people paying protection fees and all of that shit. Reyes is also an outlaw, but he's just sort of like in it for the love of the game kind of, and he's also willing to work with you to like get around her shit.
Sloan.
So Sloan kind of makes people like pay like protection fees and is kind of ruling with an iron fist about here on Kadara. And like you do all these things with Reyes, and then Reyes turns out to be lying a little bit about his identity. There's like another like big criminal boss in the area, and it turns out that's just him.
The collective.
It's not the collective. It's like a person that he is going by. I can't remember what the name is. Yeah. And it so truly isn't important. But
the charlatan?
The Charlatan.
The Charlatan is the head of the collective.
That's it. Okay. Yeah. So Reyes is just the Charlatan. Whatever. He gets you to meet with her to, like, talk it out and whatever, but he brings a sniper and you have the opportunity to interfere and save her life, and I did not do that because she kind of sucks. And Reyes kills her, does a fun little thing where they go to duel each other, and then Reyes' sniper takes her out and he goes bang with his fingers.
That's actually, that's sick and twisted. That's actually deeply fucked up.
You're so real for that.
Sister, you're so real for that.
And so I was happy with that decision because now I'm walking around Kadara and people are like, this is, I feel finally like I can breathe again, blah, 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 blah. Amazing stuff. A couple of other things. I finished the memory thing. Did you do this?
No, I haven't. And I... chances are I won't, so please do.
Okay.
Enlighten
me. I've already told you up to the fact that we learned that there's this benefactor,
secret benefactor,
is funding that our father has invented Sam and signed up for this program in the first place to try to save our mom. Uh-huh. The last memory is a fucking doozy. The last memory is a fucking is a fucking bomb. In the last memory, we see that we see two things. One, a conversation between our father and Garrus Vakarian's dad, who is like, hey, this shepherd person has just landed and is telling us all this crazy shit. No one believes them. It's clearly like beginning Mass Effect 1 stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, nobody believes them, but I've done the research. There's validity to this. I think that Reaper shit is real. I know you're working on this initiative. I think it's go time. Like if there's any chance that this shepherd person doesn't get access, like he's basically like, they might not let Shepherd do anything. And if that's gonna be the case, then we're all gonna fucking die. So
whoa, that's crazy.
Do this. So that's why your father goes back to the benefactor and says yes, and the benefactor also like believes Shepherd. Interesting.
Crazy.
And then we learn in that same memory that mom didn't die. Dad put her in stasis and snuck her onto the Hyperion under a false name in the hopes that years from now we would find a cure for her illness. And so you're like, wait, what?
Whoa!
So you go get your fucking brother, who's still pissed at me because I lied to him while he was in a coma.
Yeah.
About dad being dead. And we go get him, and I'm like, hey, so it runs in the family. Dad lied also. Mom's alive. here. And here she is, in this stasis pod. But then I'm like, hey, Sam, can we cure this yet? And Sam's like, no, we've literally done no research on how to. What have we been doing
for
the last?
We've been in stasis for 600 years.
Yeah,
what did you
think? Since we woke up, you and I have been together working on this. Like, no, we haven't come up with a cure.
Fuck, that is actually, that's fucked up funny. Oh,
but
my God.
We will, and I hope that we will do that now that we've terraformed all these planets.
Right,
some of the things. I have way more to say, but you should say something.
Okay, what did I do? I did a series of loyalty missions. I've done Cora's and Vetra's. I have also done, oh, so I flirted with everyone in the world. Every single time a little heart symbol comes up, I click it. I have a mod where I can flirt with everyone regardless of gender, and get a romance option from everyone regardless of gender, which is very fun.
Nice.
However, whenever I speak, if I'm not supposed to have the dialogue, it will just, my character will just kind of mouth the words as the subtitles come up on the screen.
Oh, sure. Right.
Which
right,
is
right.
kind of, it's kind of fun. It's like, oh, I'm not supposed to be doing this. Ha ha ha. Jarl said that he's into Vetra and likes her and wishes to date her. And I was like, fascinating. And then I dated Vetra, not on purpose. I was just filthy, flirting with everyone. And I was like, whenever it comes up, I'm going to say yes to it. I slept with Liam on the ship. And then Vetra was like, hey, do you want to come hang out?
Do you want to come?
And then I was like, come. And then I went to hang out with her in the Sulphur Springs. And then she was like, do you want to come? And then we officially hooked up and then got together, which I thought was a fun little bit of messy in on the ship.
Because you've been loving her.
You know what? I'm going to say this. Okay. My favorite duo last time was the Krogan. Who's
Drak.
Fuck ass Drak. Sorry, I had a blank there. Was Drak and PB. My favorite is now Vetra and Drak because I was on Criminal Planet just driving around. I talked to you about this the other day.
Criminal Planet.
Love Criminal Planet. Driving around, doing all of the monoliths there. And then their relationship is so good. I said a thing where Drak and PB had like a father-daughter relationship. I think Drak just has a father-daughter relationship with kind of everyone because he also has it with Vetra.
Yeah.
He's like over 1,000 years old. It's crazy. Yeah. I didn't know Krogan could live that long.
Mm-hmm.
And him and Vetra's thing is fun because they start out not liking each other and then bond over the fact they're both rough and tough kind of ex-criminals. And then when you go to Criminal Planet, Star Wars Planet, at first, those two run off together. And I was like, well, that's so fun. There are criminals, so I'm just going to hang out with those two this whole time. And then hanging out with those two, they go from like not liking each other to bonding over criminal stuff. To then, Drak actively talks to Vetra about the fact... Oh, Vetra says, I wish you were my dad when I was growing up. Because Vetra doesn't really know her dad. He's not a very nice guy. Had to, like, bring up her sister and all this. And then Drak was like, oh, I wouldn't have been a good dad to you when I was younger. But, you know, it's an honor for you to say this and all this jazz. And they just love each other very much. And it's a very sweet pairing. I like them so much. I truly like Drak with kind of everyone. He has a really great back and forth with like every person. He's also really good and kind to me since I saved all the Krogan. Is like loving life. And I think about this game, which I think is really fun, that the original trilogy didn't have, when you're on a personal mission, the third person you bring along in the original Mass Effect doesn't even matter.
You're right.
Really didn't, even a little bit. But in this, even though it doesn't super matter, they do talk and have input.
Yeah,
which
I agree.
Think is cool.
That has been cool.
Yeah. I... So... One... Oh, so I found the Asari arc as well.
Yeah.
I'm like most of the way through finding the Turian arc... which is fun and looking forward to. I do really like the arc storylines.
Me too.
I think they're cool. The two planets that we go to, neither of which are a planet, which is stated
right.
Like as you're like looking for them. One of them is literally part of an asteroid belt, which is just a mining facility. Which makes driving either the most fun thing ever or the world's most stressful situation.
So much fun!
Doing crazy jumps over, like, mile-long craters. I didn't know I needed that. Hell
Airborne,
yeah, this
baby.
Game.
airborne. We're airborne all the time.
It was fun as shit, or like deeply stressful because it's like, okay, I need to go here, which is like very close to me. I am going to drive literally full tilt as fast as I physically can toward here. Oh, what do you mean I can't stop? What do you mean I'm now further past the point that I meant to be than I was when I started? Because
yeah,
I've just been airborne for literally 30 seconds. Shit's a blast.
Yeah, which you can get the hang time achievement for being, yes, for staying in the air for.
I love it. I love it. It's fun as hell.
Very
fun. So that one's one of the planets that we go on. It's an old mining facility. It's basically entirely taken over by pirates.
Yeah.
Which is fun. Vetra's
personal loyalty quest mission is really the only thing that happens here. Because the priority mission is just to basically
land
here and then talk to Drac.
And then you can just kind of get up and go. It's great for mining resources, but I mean, I have my Black Widow sniper rifle, which can, at the minute, have not found an enemy that I do not one-shot, one-kill. And again, it is the world's most satisfying thing because of all of the upgrades I have. I'm shooting through walls and still insta-killing creatures, which goes, I don't know if anyone has ever seen an NPC through a wall and then shot them in the head through the wall, but that shit feels fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Feels so fucking good. Anyway, so it's got a lot of good mining stuff. And then the other place is the Krogan planet, but it's not actually a planet. It's a moon, I believe.
Oh, that's true. I was going to say it is a planet, but you're right. It is technically a moon.
I think this place is cool as fuck. Callow, our pilot, says this actually isn't a planet, it's a moon.
Okay.
And you're like, okay, sure. But that little moon is crazy hot. It has
super hot.
You can't leave without getting injured a bunch. But then once you terraform it, it's just a nice little planet. I do like the terraforming, even though it leads a question of like, okay, terraforming the planet is good for us to live on it. Yes, there's a lot of nature here and animals, and I don't know if we should be terraforming it because then we're displacing all of these creatures, right? That's kind of fucked up.
Sure. I think that there's something interesting about that, especially when it comes to like, I mean, with this moon, I think there are life forms here, but there's not a lot of ecosystem happening. There's not a lot of like plant life happening. And yeah, like it definitely, if we had the option not to, we probably shouldn't. But this is sort of like to make people be able to live here. Then other life is going to live here.
Like every planet has this. Like Vold is like, oh, it's so frigidly cold, and it's like, and then you stop that one being cold, and you turn it into a beautiful winter wonderland. That's fine. The sulfur place.
Did we terraform Vold?
Yeah. If you monolith it, you terraform it.
Oh, you do. You just don't build you invite people. The thing that got me tripped up is there's a couple planets where you don't build your own colony. You just get to invite people to come and stay at the colony that has already existed.
That had already existed.
Which is what happens also here on the Krogan planet.
Yes, because they have made New T'Chanka.
Which is awesome. New T'Chanka rules.
It's good. It's good. It's really fun. Good. It's cool. The leader of New T'Chanka does not sound like how I imagined a leader of Krogan would sound.
And she does not like you at all. Morda, right?
Yeah. It is a lady. Yeah, that's right.
Morda does not like you. Morda does not really like see the need for you to and does not see the need for us to make like any sort of nice at all. It's just like we did it. So
yeah. And I'm like, that's fine. I'm here. I just terraformed the planet. So I'm just kind of here to make sure that y'all are okay and living. Also again, having Drac here with you is good because he's like,
it is.
Calm yourself.
Yeah.
When you're walking around, people are like, oh, we don't like outsiders. And Drac's like, calm down. We're fine. Please. And they're like, okay, sorry, Drac. And you're like, thank you. And then leave. I hung out with Suvi, which I did enjoy. We hung out. We just had a drink, but of tea. And she's lamenting the fact that this is probably one of the last cups of tea that we're ever going to have because we just simply can't grow it. And I'm like, that is sad, actually.
Yeah.
Okay, so you found the Ark. So you did Korra's loyalty mission.
I did. I did Korra's. There's a big choice in Korra's, so we should talk about that one.
There's not a lot of choices in the loyalty missions, which I think is
there's
weird.
A couple, but Korra's for sure we should talk about. Drax has a choice. Korra's has a choice.
Yeah, I'm right at the end of Drax, so I haven't done that
okay,
one yet.
You haven't gotten there. All right. Yeah. So, but Korra's has a choice.
Korra's
has an interesting
choice.
No,
I have done Drax. I just finished Drax like 10 minutes before we jumped
on
call.
So which one do you want to talk first? Drax or
Let's do Korra's because I brought it up.
Okay, so Korra's quest is all about finding the Asari Ark, right? That's gone missing. And the Asari Pathfinder. Asari Pathfinder, whose name is not important.
Sarissa is not the Pathfinder, but is an Asari commando who Korra worships. Like has read all of these like tactical war manuals that she wrote. Fully believes in everything that she's ever done. You get on the ship. Oh no, there's a shit ton of cat and evil stuff on this ship. Of course there is. You have to go put out fires, get the cat off the ship, save as many people as physically possible. The previous Pathfinder died in an attack Ket attacking them. You then meet this other Asari, and Korra is talking her through this other Asari, it's okay, you can do this, because she's panicking about not being able to fulfill this, because she is now an incredibly important role.
Sarissa.
Just because this isn't Sarissa, this is someone else. Asari is an incredibly important role, only because everyone before her has died, and Korra is talking her through Sarissa's manuals as a walkthrough guide. Is like, hey, remember what Sarissa wrote? It's all this, and you gotta keep calm and do this first. And then, whilst you're fighting through toward the end, you find a journal, like audio recording. From the previous Pathfinder, with the previous Pathfinder and Sarissa.
Yes, yeah.
Turns out that Sarissa killed the Pathfinder because the Pathfinder was like, was going to save herself over a huge amount of Asari, over like everyone. And was like, no, and then Sarissa was like, well, I'm not picking you over everyone else. So then killed her, lied to all of the Asari. Making herself out to be this huge hero that saved the day and then saved everyone, but is actually just lying.
Yeah.
You then confront her about this. And even though Sarissa has an ego about it and it's like, oh, you did this so you could remain the hero to all of these people. Oh, right. Rather, you did like the right thing. But you did it for the wrong reasons. Korra wants to tell all the Asari that this happened, ruining her reputation. But Sarissa is like, no, we should. No, we're keeping it. I kept it a secret because the Asari need hope. And knowing that all of this bad stuff is happening with leadership would destroy all the hope that they have.
Yeah.
And we need it. We can't be fractured. And then you get a choice whether or not to, or on who you're siding with. Are you going to side with Korra and you're going to let all the Asari know? Are you going to side with Sarissa and then you're going to let all the Asari kind of live in an ignorance is bliss mindset?
Yeah.
What did you pick?
So I had Sarissa stay in charge, but I did have us tell all of the Asari.
I kept it a secret. I kept it a secret so that Sarissa is in charge, but all of the Asari are going to live in ignorance. We are the only ones who are going to know this
yeah.
crazy secret.
I just figured, I was like, I did it. I've done it. I literally did it recently.
I did it the other day.
The other day I sacrificed a Pathfinder to save the rest of the ship. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. This is a no-brainer. but, like, it's just, like, because Cora is deeply upset, is, like, demoralizingly upset about Sarissa's, like, quote-unquote betrayal by, like,
yeah.
And failure and stuff like that, which I didn't understand at all, but that just is in line with the fact that I don't understand Cora at all. we don't get her. But yeah, and then Cora, like, is upset later also that she isn't the Pathfinder. Whatever. I'm just like, it doesn't matter.
Fascinating. She, to me, was like, I wouldn't have made that call. I should never have been considered to be the Pathfinder. It should have been you all along. And yeah. everyone was right. And I was like, ha-ha. So she's no longer sad that she's not the Pathfinder for me. She's like, yeah, I just don't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm just like, well, I kind of had to tell her that. I was like, you got to get over this. it was the right thing to do, and that you're being stupid. Mm-hmm. But yeah. But yeah, no, I made them tell the Asari, because it's literally going to be fine, because why would they be pissed that we let one Pathfinder die to save the rest of the Asari?
Sure, that makes sense, but it would cause such a drama. So I was like, we should just keep it. No one knows. It doesn't change anything except for, like, our perceptions, but it's fine, whatever. So I let them live all in ignorance.
Hey, campers, have you heard of Season 5 of 5 GMs and a Trenchcoat from Inside the Tent? You haven't? Well, let us tell you about it.
A nice, green, natural regional park. This is Hidden Falls Regional Park. For our purposes in our world, it's a bit larger than it actually is. It is the summer of 1983, and it is all of your first time getting to stay at Hidden Falls.
We promise it's going to be a great time. It's going to be a story of three childhood friends going across the Americas in 1987 using Kids on Bikes 2nd edition. So grab a blanket, make some coffee. The first 3 episodes are available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
But you get a bunch of Asari. You get the Asari arc, which is 2 of the 3 arcs, because the third one is the Turian one. Correct? No, there's a Krogan? Yeah. No, there's not a Krogan.
No, there's not a Krogan.
Because the Krogans don't get a Pathfinder.
Yeah. Right, they don't. It's the Turian and the Salarian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so Cora's big choice there. Drax also has a choice. You did finish it, you said?
I have finished it. Yeah.
Okay. Amazing. So Drax is all about this guy, Spender. I remember, like, we first get this kind of early in the game, like, with Spender. But this is like, basically, like, supplies are being stolen from the vault, and Spender, it's basically like is Spender responsible, or is what is her name? Addison responsible.
Yeah.
Is
yeah,
kind
yeah.
of like the end choice. And I fucking hate Addison so much. But like, doing this, I just felt like Spender, like, was fucking with our security footage, was like breaking and entering all over the place, had like spies and shit, and then also Drac was mad. So I was like, yeah, buddy, So we exiled Spender.
Oh, I have done this. I do not remember the exiling decision.
It's basically after you catch him. So maybe you didn't do just like the very last part.
Because I got the like, you have finished his loyalty mission, like pop up.
Yes, and then there's one more part afterwards where you go deal with the aftermath with Addison and you decide who's to blame for this.
Right.
And then what to do with Spender. I blamed Addison for the ordeal. I did say this is on you for not keeping better control over your fucking space station.
Yeah.
But this guy, you can go and get killed out in the desert. Have fun. So, yeah. That was my choice. Definitely. So you have one more little choice to make about
More little choice, because I thought the choice was kill the guy, the kind of pseudo-villain at the end who you're fighting, because you have the chance to, like, get Drac to kill him or be like, no, we need him for information. And I was like,
that's right. I kept
that's
him alive.
That's kind of a little choice.
What did you do
I kept
there?
Him. I kept you him did. Alive as well, because I was like, we need this information still. We have a million chances to kill someone. We have one chance to... keep someone alive.
Okay. Funny.
Vetra's mission. Did you do Vetra's?
I did do Vetra's mission. Vetra's is cool.
Vetra has this whole storyline with her sister, who Vetra has been looking after basically her whole life because her family haven't really been in the picture. It turns out that Vetra has been helping a bunch of exiles. Secretly been helping a bunch of exiles. You follow this distress signal from all these people, and then this one woman called Meriwether, who Vetra knows a little bit, she's heard of, captures Vetra because it's like, you've been helping all these exiles so much and being a big thorn in my side. And then you question Vetra about it, and she's like, I have actually, genuinely, no idea what you're talking about. And you're like, no, you've been helping people this whole time. That's kind of why we're here. And she's like, nope, I don't know. You have to trust me. I literally don't know what you're talking about. But then every single person there is like, yeah, I spoke to you, and you told me all this. And Vetra's like, I don't know what you're talking about. You break out of this little... prison cell holding area that Meriwether put you in with all the exiles. You like hide all the exiles away, and then you're like killing guys to try to get out. And then Vetra speaks to you on over like a intercom, and Vetra is like, oh, hang on, no, stop, cut the voice filter, Sid, I know that's you. And then Vetra's sister is like, okay, yeah, sorry, that is me. It turns out that Vetra's sister, because Vetra has so many underworld contacts and has so much like push and pull in like underworld situations, that her sister has been pretending to be her to get all these exiles freed and helped, because people were exiled and then regretted the fact they were exiled. And then Sid is like, well, I'm just going to help them then. There's no reason to like leave them high and dry. That feels really bad. You fight through this base. Vetra's sister gets captured by Meriwether. You have a little quick time event to shoot Meriwether, which I did. Mm-hmm. Sid then gets away. You slaughter a bunch of people, and then you chastise Sid, or you have a choice. Vetra chastise Sid, and you can either be like, Vetra, you gotta back off, like Sid actually did a good thing and it's fine, or you be like, yeah, Sid, you shouldn't have done that, that was actually really dangerous. I don't know if there's a huge
there's not really
choice
I
in
to
this
my...
one
no not so much I don't believe so Yeah, no, this is just this. The choice at the end of this is whether you encourage her to make up with her sister or you let her tell her sister to fuck off, basically. I told her to go reason with her. It's not a huge choice. Yeah, it's not like an enormous choice, really. It's just like how she wants to deal with it.
Did you do the mission with the AI on Vold.
Which one?
The one with the cutscenes.
Tell me the...
Go, you, so you... There's the Ket base.
Yeah.
On Vold, which you, when you take that over, you can then go down into the mining
into
facility.
Into the chasm, it, like that yeah. big chasm. Yes, I did do this.
Yes. And then you found the AI, the big old school motherboard AI.
No, I went in there though. What the fuck are you talking about? All right, maybe I did not do this.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No.
Yeah, because the... Cause...
Vold. No, that doesn't make sense. The chasm I'm thinking of is, I think, on Hervarl. Okay, this is something else.
Yeah, no, not that one.
This is
I did
else.
Also do that one,
that
though.
Big one with the big giant chasm, and you go in there, and, like,
yeah,
there's
and
a
you
secret
go in the
facility
big...
in there. Okay, I did
and
that.
And there's a secret facility, and there's also, like, a bunch of Angarans that have secretly been living there.
Yeah.
In the monolith. So this is on Hervarl.
Yes.
This big tropical planet. They actually don't know where the monoliths are. Unlike everywhere else where the monoliths are really easy to find, on Hervarl, they don't know where they are.
Yes.
You do a bunch of stuff. You're, like, figuring out where they are. You then find one of them, climb up it, find a bunch of Angarans who are living there, kind
hostile.
Of secretly.
Yeah.
Well, these ones aren't hostile. These
the ones
just,
you find at first, yeah.
Yeah. And they're like, oh. And then they introduce literal full magic. Where they're like, okay. So Angarans, when they die, their spirits are like
they
reborn.
Reincarnate! This is
they
the craziest shit ever.
And then, if you have something that is significant to one of their past lives, they can relive the memories of that person.
Yeah.
There is a bunch of hostile Angarans, which have a very specific name, begins with R.
The Rokar?
Rokar. You fight through a bunch of Rokar to the leader of the Rokar, and you're like, hang on, I'm not here to kill you, even though I've killed every single one of your guys.
Everyone I see.
I am a ghost, a shadow on the night, the storm that comes. I have killed everyone. I don't mean to, though. I only did it because I knew y'all would kill me. You then find the full body of a previous life.
Their dead ancestor.
Yeah. Then they have this whole, like, memory flashback. Find that that they never found the third monolith. The reason why you're trying to awaken it is because the only person who knew the third monolith is dead now and was reborn into this Rokar.
Yeah.
You force them to kind of remember, and they're like, oh, wow, we never found the third monolith. And then you find the third monolith pretty easy after that.
Yeah, because he literally leads you there because he's having sense memory of where it is.
Yeah.
Because his ancestor made it almost the way there. We even find his ancestor's corpse because he's wearing his ancestor's bracelet or glove or something like that.
Or something,
that we have.
Yeah.
And then he finds it. He leads us right there. And then he's like, I got to go think about some stuff. And then later we find him and he's like, I'm going to talk to the Rokar.
We got to calm down, I think.
We got to calm down. And then we're like, so the reincarnation thing's real? Like, it's biologically real?
Yeah.
It's happening to you.
Yeah. It's like the soul is a real thing. You confirm that the soul exists and is real in the Mass Effect Andromeda universe, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, can we jump back to Vetra really quick?
Yes.
After you finish her personal quest, you get like a little follow up thing where she invites you to come to her favorite spot, and then she challenges you to a climbing race to the top of a cliff on a desert.
Yes. So this is where we made out.
Oh, this is where you made out.
Official. Yeah.
That's fun. As friends, we just sat there up the top. I lost the race because I didn't use my jump jets.
I also
she said
didn't
it
use my jump
cowardly.
Jets.
Cowardly.
Yeah.
And then we just watched the sunset and talked and stuff, and it was really cute.
So that's actually really fun. I didn't know that this had a friend version because the romance thing is so cute. You're like sat there, and she's like, "Is this real?" And you're like, yeah, the sky is pretty real. It's nice. And she's like, no, you treat me like more than a friend. And I want to know this is real. If this is real before I start doing too much. And then you have this whole conversation where it's like you're talking about it being real. And she's so nervous because.
Oh, my God. Like, tell me.
It's just, so it's great. She is actually so cute. I like her so much. And then I got to kiss the Turian this time.
You did.
It was now, this guy.
Now I want to know, because I bet Jarl's thing where he took me home to meet his mother's, I bet there is a friend version of that after you do his personal quest.
Probably.
So I'm curious now what that's about. Did you do PB's loyalty mission?
I have... not finished it, but I've made the VI, like the she built the remnant VI.
You built the
Then I have that flying around, and then she was like, find me more remnant tech, and this was like toward the end of my play session. I was like, okay, I will.
Yeah,
it's just low on my priority list.
It's so not done. It's not, you're not even close.
Hell yeah, good.
So basically, so PB one day comes to you and is like, I've built something, and it's literally a fucking little remnant octopus, like just floating around in her chambers, except it's like a nice purple color or something and not the angry red hue that it normally is. And she's like, I made one. I resurrected it, and now it works for me. And I'm like, very cool. And then without my input, Ryder says, can you make me one but with guns? And I was like, oh, God. And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, I fucking... I'm exhausted.
I fucking
by
hate
the
this
character.
Guy.
Fuck Ryder so much. But anyway. But PB's like, yeah, sure, no problem. But then hers gets stolen. And so she's like, I got to get it back. It's stolen by her ex. Has stolen it from her. And it's deeply problematic. This woman is evil, like super evil. And so as well, a woman, Kalinda, has stolen it from her. And so you're tracking it down. After you find all the tech to improve it, then it gets stolen. And then you have to track down the people who've stolen it.
Uh-huh.
And then we're going to talk about the choice at the end of it next time, because I do want you to make the choice on your own.
Yes.
But one day she's like, hey, can you help me with something? And you go to meet her in her room, and she locks you in her room and force launches her shuttle into an active volcano without your knowledge or permission. And that is where her real quest starts. And I'm like, okay. And so there's a lot to talk about from there. I'm really curious how you will feel about it.
Fascinating. Okay.
It's a lot. So there's PB.
So there is PB.
Also, in your loyalty missions, there are some like allied quests that you can do. One of them is that Addison tells you that there is an important scientist that's gone missing.
Uh-huh.
And you should track her down. When you track her down, finally, because you just like hop around the solar system until you find her. When you find her, she's like, fuck you, I'm not going with you. And then Sam is like, Ryder, because I can see all things and know all things, she's pregnant.
I hate Sam.
That's not an AI. He's
so fucking boring.
He's ChatGPT. He's not AI. He's AI as we know it today. He's not an AI, like an actual intelligence. He's not a synthetic intelligence. That is a fucking chatbot.
We just have fucking BBC Sherlock Holmes in our head who keeps being like, reading these tiny fragments of what this person's armor looks like, I can tell that they're an alcoholic. And it's like, fuck off.
then whatever. Sam tells us through divine interference that she's pregnant, and and we find that out. And so we're like, "You're pregnant. How far along are you?" And she's like, "Fuck off!" And then they blow up their radio. And so then you gotta chase her down. And then when you find out where she's landed, this actually was pretty exciting, because you're like, not only is she an important scientist, but this is also the first pregnancy to take place in the Andromeda Galaxy. This is because everybody in stasis was taking like hormone suppressants to prevent that from happening until we had enough resources.
Yeah.
So like, even after you woke up, you still had some of those drugs in your system. You were not in danger of getting pregnant until we had enough food, resources, and homes and stuff.
Yeah.
But she was like, "We're going too slow," and this is also what before the arcs had started arriving that she ran away, and she was just like, "I'm not waiting to start my life. We're here. I'm going to go do it, and if I have to do it on the run, I'll do it." She runs away, and we chase her down. And when we find her last, like, known location, and Sam is like, "I figured out where she is. She's on Vold." And you're like, Vold is swarming with Ket. Like, Vold is, like, is literally...
Vold is, like, the Ket homeworld.
It's
we
the
have
Ket
so much
homeworld.
Yeah.
So when we track her down, she's literally surrounded. She's locked herself in her shuttle, and she's surrounded by Ket to the point where she can't take off safely, and she goes into labor. So you are committing a murder party outside, just blowing people up, listening to her give birth over comms. It's actually so funny. And then we clear the area enough for her to get away and escape. We hear the baby crying, safely being born. And then we go do a debrief where we get her to, like, radio in with us. And we're like, basically Addison is like, "We should, like, no one should be able to do this again. Like, we should be able to monitor." And I'm just like, "No. Like, if people want to go and do what, like, we should invite people to stay with us, but we should not force them to stay with us."
Yeah.
And so then we extend an invitation for her to come to Podromos, which is our first colony, which is, like, the most developed. And she decides to take it. And then she tells us, I ask what she's naming her kid, and she has named her kid after Captain Anderson, an old friend.
Ah, love
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Good.
Very cute. Couple other little things. Liam, who's a big movie buff, I got an ambient dialogue where he tells me about an Asari remake of the Seventh Samurai that he found.
Yeah.
Really good. Also got Jal to watch Elcor Hamlet, and he says that it's an improvement on the original source material.
Yep.
Which
is very fun, because he would have to have read normal
Hamlet.
Human Hamlet.
Yeah, which I assume he did. He's been spending so much time in the museum, the cultural museum.
He does. I do like his cultural museum. Last week you told me to go look at it, and it is fun.
It is cute.
There was also a fun conversation about Asari and gender when I was in there.
Yes.
Between the Angaran ambassador, where he's like, "Oh, should I prefer to use feminine pronouns?" And then the Asari's like, "That works for me, but some of us identify as male and some of us identify with no pronouns." It's like, wow, I'd love to meet them one day.
I would love it if a character...
yeah, I'd love for a character to be like, "I'm an Asari and he, him, Asari."
He, him, lesbian, Asari.
Exactly, to give me that. And then they're like, "Oh, us Angarans have most of the same. We, like, have a huge spectrum of... like, gender non-conforming pronouns," and it's like, "Sick, would love to meet someone.
Sick, would love to meet it someday. would love to encounter it."
But
it's nice.
It was a fun little conversation. The Asari, again, this is not an Andromeda problem. This is a Mass Effect problem.
This, yeah.
the Asari are the most interesting in one-off sentences and ambient dialogue.
Yes.
They are all the world's sexiest woman. I need to meet some he, him, lesbian Asaris. Stop being scared.
Yeah.
In Mass Effect Exodus, which is the next one, Mass Effect 5 that's coming out, give us
Butch.
A fucking...
Butch, give, he, yeah. him, Asari, please.
Like, how is that not the coolest shit
I
ever?
I want it.
However, they have just made the Veil Guard, so Mass Effect 5 is either going to be completely horrendously trash, or it's going to fuck real hard.
Yeah, who knows? And who knows?
And who knows?
I also want to say that at some point, I adopted a hamster.
Fun.
Because a hamster stowed away on the ship.
Yeah, and Drac is like, hey, there's a bunch of crumbs everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill whatever did this. And you're like,
so
I'll find it.
I already have...
A monkey?
I already have a monkey.
You have a monkey?
A monkey. Monkey is free roaming. Monkey is just sort of around the ship.
Yeah.
So then I find this hamster and I'm like, and there's like a, oh, should we set it free on the planet that it probably came from? Or should we keep it? And I was like, probably set it free. But like, it's like the opportunity to have a pet in a video game. Like, I would love to. And so I decided to. And then I walked into my room and I saw that I have put this thing in a like 2-inch by 2-inch cage. And I do nothing with it. You interact with it and it just squeaks. I don't even say anything to it.
Yeah.
There's no... And I was like, oh, I've done... Actually, this is...
You've
I've killed
this
a million
creature.
People today. And I think that this hamster situation is deeply problematic. I'm really upset about the hamster situation. if I could go back to that save and not lose everything else I've done in this game, I would release
hamster.
The hamster.
That's funny. There was a thing about it was post Vetra's personal mission where Vetra's like, oh, I was talking to Cid and Cid has adopted a bunch of cats and I think that's useless.
Yeah.
And I had to be like, well, cats are nice. And they're like, yeah, but there's a lot of people in stasis and we're using a lot of resources to keep these cats alive. And I'm like, yeah, it's fine. Yeah. It doesn't matter. With the amount of shit I'm doing, I'm taking people out of cryopods constantly.
Oh, yeah. I've released so many cryopods. I think I have like 2 points I haven't unlocked yet. I've opened up so many cryopods. I put... I mean, like, honestly, I started putting everything into science and making a bunch
and
of, like,
commercial.
Different science holds and commercial stuff.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But now it's almost everything.
Yeah. The military ones, I don't do as much just exclusively because the military is like, hey, your strike team stuff is better. And I'm like, fuck off. I don't care about my strike
team. I'll
tell
you what,
at all.
I have done every strike team mission. I have done every strike team mission. I have 100% viability to every planet that we have landed on. I have loyalty with everyone, even PB, who I definitely did not think I was going to get with because of the things that I did. And yeah, I have very little left lingering at all. I've pretty much cleared the board.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's great because we are like right here at the very end of the game. So next week we are doing, correct me if I'm wrong, we're doing the
Journey to Meridian,
yeah. Which is basically
kicking off the finale.
Yeah. At the end of Journey to Meridian, it is then like the end of the game.
Do we want to just go straight through to the end, or do we want to see where we're at after Journey to Meridian is
let's
over?
Let's do Journey to Meridian, and then after next week, then we just close it out. Because I fear...
Yeah.
Not being able to like clean up bits at the end of the game.
Very fair.
Yeah.
Can I express one other thing?
Of course.
I've not I've not had any sloppy jalopy with Jahl, you know? Like, we
had any fucking Dyson spin cycle on this guy.
I've not yet gotten to, you know, grab on to the ear ropes of this man.
That's so crazy that I've had sex twice in this game and you're in a committed relationship and haven't once.
We've kissed a bunch, but there's been no, like, classic BioWare consummation
cut to black
scene. So I am wondering, and I'm getting rooms. A little nervous, but then again, in Mass Effect 1, the sex scene happens
at the final mission,
like,
which,
right,
I mean,
on that final mission.
One can say probably. I actually have it pulled up right now. If you would like me to tell you.
Tell me.
So, has he sent you an email saying that there's a special place on Aya he wants you to see?
Oh, maybe he has. Maybe I just need...
Okay, there you go. You can get some sloppy toppy there.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe it's that.
Because it says he and the Pathfinder can consummate their relationship there, which I think is fun. Oh, I also, in the Korra mission, I also had a hug minigame quick time event, which was really weird. Where
in
it was
chorus?
Like, it had like a boom, you like chance to hug. I was like, ah! I don't know why hugging
That's
in the moment
so
is that important.
Funny.
But it was incredibly weird.
That's really funny.
Oh. Okay.
Because
what else?
The thing is, I did have a conversation. I'm stuck on this. I did have a conversation with y'all where he asked if this was real, and I said yes. I haven't gotten a thing. I actually don't think I've gotten this.
They share a kiss. Afterwards, he presents a project he started long ago. He expresses the wish to complete this project and now has someone to do it with. Later, he sends an email saying he has a special place on Aya. So maybe just check your emails.
Oh my
Which I'm
God.
Doing all the time. I really wish the emails were in a more accessible place.
Oh, I check my emails all the time. My emails are cleared. My emails
yeah,
are completely
I know,
cleared.
But it's just getting to the emails is annoying in this game is all I'm
A little I'm bit.
Stating.
I'm worried because I think I missed the crucial react. And now I'm worried
oh, no.
that I've just
you didn't,
missed it.
You didn't fulfill the kiss mini game?
I didn't do the kiss mini game, but I did say we're in a relationship.
Who knows? Well, go to Aya with Jahl and find out.
Wow. Okay. All right. Oh, my
also,
God.
Also, very minorly, we briefly mentioned at the top that characters in loyalty missions have things to say, which they do. I've just written some of them down.
Please.
Vetra has a lot to say on Drax's loyalty mission because they both do underhanded dealings, and I think that's very fun. And PB has a lot of stuff to say in Korra's mission, because I brought PB along because I was like, see Asari arc. She's an Asari. She might have something interesting to say. And she does.
Yeah.
Lots of cool stuff. And like reacts in really fun ways. Because there's like a Mass Effect field that they set up to keep the arc in place. And PB keeps getting migraines because there's a giant Mass Effect field right
oh,
next to them. And
fun.
She's really biotic. Anyway, it's just a lot of really interesting stuff.
PB has great stuff during Vetra's. Because Vetra and PB similarly have a big sister, little sister thing, and Vetra starts taking out her complicated sister feelings on PB. And they start to bicker. And then that lasts long after the mission's over, whenever you have them together, until they both apologize to each other.
That's very cool.
Yeah,
I like
really
that a
cool.
lot. There's a lot. There is a lot of really good stuff with the characters in this.
Yeah.
Your crew in particular are very good. It took clearly literally like a month for me to warm up to anything in this game was handing to me.
Yeah.
Because I think it hands it to you poorly, but I do like him.
No, there's good like stuff. It's just being delivered in the wrong
yeah
format.
But there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of positives to find here. If someone came to me and was like, "Oh, Andromeda is my favorite Mass Effect game," I'd be like, "Eh, I mean, I could see why." I disagree, but I see why if someone yeah. was to say it to me.
Yeah.
Because it's a complete package kind of handed to you. Right, rather yeah. than like Mass Effect 1 is like hard to get through. 2 is fantastic, but it's like you kind of have to know 1 to really appreciate it.
You do. You absolutely. I loved yeah. 2 and you do have
it's
to play
It's so
1.
Crazy. I saw a yeah. tweet of someone the other day that was like, "Oh, I played Mass Effect 1 for the first time, like, or like I'm playing Mass Effect 1 for the first time. I've completed 2 and 3 countless times." And I'm like, "Why would you do that?" Oh, and then they yeah. then they said Mass Effect 1 isn't very good. And I'm like, "Okay, but it's making 2 and 3 better on account of how it's literally
crucial.
The setup for the story. It's incredibly important for you to be doing this. What are you talking about?
What are you doing?
What are you doing? What are we doing here, gang? Come
doing?
On." So, next week we're doing...
Wait, one last thing, very last thing. After, really cute, it's so minor, but after you've gotten all of the other Pathfinders together, the next time you walk into the operations section of the Nexus, there's a cutscene that's super cute where all of the Pathfinders are together and, like, kind of deciding, like, what they're... you know, gonna do next, and also like a lot of the path, like one of the other Pathfinders was not supposed to be, yeah. and you get to give some reassurance. And then one of the Pathfinders, the Solarian Pathfinder, is like, "I'm studying the tech that the Ket used to do their little assimilation thing or whatever."
Yeah.
And I'm gonna learn how to maybe reverse it, hopefully, which is great. And mm-hmm. then he's like, "Also, big news, the first ever bottle of wine bottled in the Andromeda Galaxy just arrived. I think we should have a toast." And so all the Pathfinders have a little toast together, and it's really cute. I think it's really cute. Anyway, that's it. That's my last
Fantastic.
Thing.
Fantastic.
Yep. Next week, we're going to do Journey to Meridian. And
yeah.
then see what happens.
And
I
then we're going to see what happens in the Andromeda Galaxy. But until then, you slimes.
You fucking slimes. You
weebos.
You scourges. you fucking scourges.
You Sam units. make no mistake.
This was always a one-way trip.
We messed that up. We did it. It doesn't matter that we messed up. We're in the right and you're stupid,
baby. This is our podcast.
This is our podcast.
Yeah. God.
Yeah.